I'm not going to take a lot of time in preaching the word this morning. Steve just did an excellent job, but I do want to prepare our hearts a little bit before we take communion. I'm not even going to ask you to stand. You've been standing a while. I want to talk to you about the body and the blood of the Lord and what it means to us. In Hebrews 10, verse 5, it said, "So when Christ came into the world, he said this, 'You don't want sacrifice and offerings.'" Steve mentioned the word obedience several times when he was up here. And Scripture teaches us that to obey is better than sacrifice. Think about your own children. Wouldn't you rather have them obey and listen to what you say than not do that and then try to make up for it somehow with gifts and trinkets and that sort of thing? God wants the same thing for us. But it goes on to say this, "But you have prepared a body for me." Jesus understood at a certain point in his life that his body that he lived in was simply that. It was a tent, a tabernacle. It was an implement, if you will, in the hand of God. And that God had given him that body. Welcome home back there, McBrarities. Good to see you. They've been down taking care of everybody in floods and fires and everything else for a while. New Orleans, right? At least for a while, yeah, some of it. They travel all around. Glad you're home safe and sound. But Jesus understood that the body that he lived in was an instrument to be used by the Father for a particular purpose. That scripture goes on to say, "You're not pleased with sacrifices of animals killed and burned or with offerings to take away sins. Then I said, here I am, God. It is written about me in the book of the law. I have come to do what you want." You may not realize this, but Jesus was fully God, born of a virgin, had to be the Savior of the world and to be sinless. But he was also fully man and had to learn his mission and had to learn about God just like you and I do. As he grew up and he read the scriptures, he came to understand that so much of it was written about him and his purpose and God's plan, God the Father, and what he would have to fulfill. And he understood that his body had been given to him not only to serve God in life, but in death through the sacrifice of his own blood once and for all for every human being that had ever been born or ever will be born. God not only prepared a body for Christ so that he could come and use it to do the will of God, but I want you to understand this morning that he also gave you a life and a body to use for his purpose and his plan as you follow in the steps of Christ. I love what Jeremiah 29:11, and I know for some of you it's your favorite verse in the Bible. It says, "I say this because I know the plans," this is God speaking, "that I have for you." This message is from the Lord. The Lord says to you, to me, to every human being this morning, "I have good plans for you." I tell people all the time, you may have all kinds of problems in life, but God is not one of them. He said, "I have good plans for you, and I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future." Jesus said, "The enemy of our souls, the devil, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy." When you look around the world and you see so much hurt and pain and hatred and war and sickness and disease, you need to realize that the enemy of our souls brought all of that into being when he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden. And he's using all of that to do everything he can to destroy every part of your life and every part of your being. And he ultimately wants to keep you out of eternity with God and with those that love God. But Jesus, on the other hand, said, "I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." When I was a sinner and away from God, one of the lies that the enemy had made me believe is if I had gotten saved and become a Christian, that pretty much anything that was enjoyable or fun in life would be over with. And that is an absolute lie. You don't begin to live and enjoy life or to know what joy and happiness is until you surrender completely your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And then you find out that he did come to give you life and that abundantly. God has a plan for you and I. Before you were ever born, Scripture said, before your members were created in the womb, God had a plan for you. Now the problem is it gets short-circuited either by the enemy, because the devil has a plan for you too. And it also can get short-circuited by you because you've been made in the image of God. He gave you will and volition, the ability to make choices in life. And you can either choose your way, the devil's way, or God's way. But God has a plan for every human being. I know the devil for 22 years was doing everything he could to destroy me and everything and that I touched and everyone around me. But I finally, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, came to my senses and said, God, I want to follow your plan for my life. I'm tired of hitting my head in the wall. I'm tired of the hurt and the pain and the misery and the frustration of life. There's got to be more than this. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have of God? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price, so therefore glorify God in your body. God prepared Jesus a body, and he gave you a body. You need to quit complaining about it. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. Every time you complain about you and who you are and how you're made, you complain about the handiwork of God himself in creating you. Scripture teaches, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we're to take care of our bodies the very best that we can and use them for the purposes that God has for us. It said, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. God owns your body. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We need to eat properly, to the best of our ability, to the best of our understanding. It's hard sometimes. The professionals, if you will, some of those people that Steve talked about that are educated beyond their intelligence, try to tell us what we're supposed to eat sometimes, and they say, if you eat eggs, it'll kill you this week. Now, next week, they'll tell you, you need to eat more eggs because we were wrong the other week. The Bible says to do all things in moderation and to pray over everything that you eat, because it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. People say, should we pray over this when we eat? Yes. I've been on the mission field and I've had stuff set in front of me that I wasn't sure was even dead yet. And I said, Lord, please, touch this, sanctify it, do something with it so I can eat this. I remember coming back from some of those trips and coming home and starting to pray and feeling like a hypocrite, because when I was praying over there, I really meant it, Brother Steve. Sometimes here we just kind of do the headache prayer and then we ask each other, did we pray over that? Yeah, we prayed. But you need to eat properly to the best of your ability. There's a lady in our church, she was somewhat overweight, almost obese, and I said a couple years ago in a sermon, this is true, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, there are no obese old people. Look around. And I'm not saying that to hurt anybody's feelings, but what I want you, and some of you are never going to be skinny, forget that. But you need to be careful about what you eat and drink. We really do. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be a fanatic. You just need to do all things in moderation. You also need exercise. You know, you weren't created to just sit still all the time. And I know that's hard during the quarantine and the pandemic and the corona. There must be something connected to my bottom that when I sit down, Brother Walt, I want to eat. If I don't have something to keep my mind busy, I want to eat. I gained a lot of weight during the pandemic. I had a kidney stone here for about 2 weeks, and I lost a lot of it, and I'm trying to keep it off now, but I don't recommend that way to lose weight either. But the reality is we need to think about what we eat and drink, and then we need to exercise. Your body was made to be used. There's a thin line between overuse of your body, which you can do, and underuse of your body. Your muscles begin to get soft and they atrophy and you're not able to do things. Sometimes when you're in pain, if that pain hasn't come because of overuse of some part of your body, then it can come because of underuse and you might need to go and work things out. I had a pain in the shoulder one time and I play tennis twice a week and I thought sure it was from playing tennis. You ever have that shoulder pain that gets so bad? This is how this was. I had a car at the time that had a gear shift lever up next to the steering wheel, and I couldn't even get my arm up to put that car in gear. So I finally said to myself, I better rest that thing, and I kept resting it, and it just kept getting worse, and I'm a fanatic about tennis. I kept playing tennis, and I threw the ball up, and I finally, like some of us guys, after a month or so of doing stuff like that, I finally went to a sports doctor and told her what was going on. And I said, I've been playing tennis. I said, how long do I have to stop playing tennis? She said, you're playing tennis like that? I said, yes. She said, that's probably the only reason you can move that far. See, I thought I needed to stop moving it, and she told me, you need to get that thing loosened up. She said, what's happening is you got a muscle down here that you're not using, and this muscle back here is trying to compensate. And I mean, it would burn and feel like it had an ice pick in it. And you know what her answer to that was? It's like, ah! She said, I know it's going to hurt. I said, but that thing's froze up. You got to get it moving. Now, that cost me a lot of money for her to tell me that and get me going. I didn't charge you nothing for this, all right? But we need exercise. We've got to move. Our bodies were made to move. And not only that, but you need to rest properly. Some of us don't have any trouble with the exercise. We have problems with not being able to slow down at all, ever. Carla. My wife and my mother-in-law, workaholics. Carla say, sit down here and watch this TV show with me. I said, okay, because you need to sit down and rest a little bit, girl. Sit down, we're there 5 minutes. I look over, she's gone. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just doing something. I'll get you ice cream later. I got to buy her ice cream when I talk about her in sermons. I get some too, though. In moderation. But we need proper rest. You were not made to run 24/7 nonstop. And some of it, we get frustrated, we get depressed, we get angry, and what we really need is just somebody to tell us to sit down and maybe bake us a cake like God did Elijah back in the Old Testament. Elijah was depressed. He said, Jezebel's after me, Ahab's after me, they're all going to kill me, I don't know what I'm going to do. God said, go in the cave, lay down, I'm going to bake you a cake. That's right. The whole world looks dark when you're tired, doesn't it? Things look so bad when you're tired and you're worn out. The smallest problem just magnifies itself into the largest mountain. So we need to eat properly. We need to exercise properly. We need to rest properly. And some of you say, well, man, Pastor Ken, that sounds great. I wish I had time to do all that. You do. The only thing you have to do is pay taxes and die. Anything else you're doing, it's a part of your choice and how you're living your life. So you can't. We all have 186 hours a week. Nobody gets any more, nobody gets any less, and it's up to you and I what we do with them and how we do with it. That's one of the reasons we have the Lord's Day. Some of you get more rest in church than you get all week, more peace of mind at church than you get all week. This is the only time, Carla, that you sit still the whole time. Two ice creams. We need to try to take care of ourselves. You know, we Christians are a little strange sometimes. We'll abuse our bodies for years. You know, and then when God doesn't come through and just heal us just like that, we're like, man, I don't know why God did this to me. I don't know why he won't heal me. Your body's only going to last so long. Now, here's the bad news. Good news is Jesus died so you could have eternity. The bad news is you can eat well, exercise, and you're going to die anyway. No matter how well you do all of those things. All right? But we need to take care of ourselves. Why? Because we need to be the best instrument in God's hands that we can possibly be for as long as we can possibly be. I want to go to heaven more than I want to be in this world, but I'm not ready to get on a busload right now, Kim. You know, if they're taking a busload today, somebody can have my seat. Right? If you're wanting to go right away, just quit eating them bran muffins. Now, God put a love for life in our hearts. I want to serve God as long as I can, possibly can, be the best witness and example that I possibly can, use this body as long as I can use it for God's purpose for our lives. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It's no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul literally said for him to live was Christ. Romans 6:13 said, do not continue offering or yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments or tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourselves to God as though you've been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members and faculties to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. It's a sad testimony, but I smoked cigarettes so bad and other stuff before I became a Christian that, you know, you ever see, well, I hope not, but I'm sure many of you have people in your family that smoke so much that their fingers are yellow from nicotine and all the other stuff. That's how my hands were. I had that cigarette nicotine ring around my mouth. I got saved on a Monday, and I'll never forget looking down at my fingernails on a Wednesday afternoon, same week, and they started turning pink. They're nice and pink now, healthy looking. Now, that may sound like a simple thing to you, but I thought, what a miracle that looked like to me at the time. Because I knew God had not only saved my soul, but he was beginning to save my body, to undo all of the destruction that I had done to it, or most of it anyway, that I had done to it up to that point in my life. But I also realized these hands needed to belong to God. These feet needed to belong to God. These legs needed to go where God wanted me to go. This mind needed to be filled with God's word. I was no longer my own, but I had been bought with a price. And that's not just for deacons and pastors and apostles, it's for every Christian. We need to yield our bodies to the things of God. Psalm 40, verse 1, I just want to read it to you real quick, and then I'm going to ask the people to come be ready to serve communion. I called to the Lord, and he heard me. He heard my cries. He lifted me out of the grave. He lifted me from that muddy place. He picked me up and put me on solid ground. He kept my feet from slipping. Can you say praise God? He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, and many will see what he did and they'll worship him. They will put their trust in the Lord when they see what God does in you and for you. Great blessings belong to those who trust in the Lord. Amen. For those who do not turn to demons and false gods for help. Lord, my God, you have done amazing things. You have made great plans for us, too many to list. Can you say amen to that? Every day, all the time, in everything, God is good
all the time.
Lord, you made me understand this. You don't really want sacrifice and grain offerings. You don't want burnt offering and sin offering. So I said, here am I, ready to do what was written about me in the book. You know, God has a book, and you're in it. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. He's got a plan for you, and your name is in his book. I hope and pray it is, because he's got another book, and on Judgment Day, if your name's in there, you're lost forever. He said, my God, I am happy to do whatever you want. Can you say that today? I never stop thinking about your teachings. I told the good news of victory to the people in the great assembly, and the Lord, you know that I will never stop telling that good news. Do your relatives say, stop preaching at me? Do they? I remember my old druggie friends. I got saved, and God just touched my heart. He put a new song in my mouth, and they thought they still wanted me around for a while. And they would invite me to things, and I'd talk to them. They said, are you ever going to stop preaching? I didn't think I was preaching. I was just talking about Jesus. But they're right. It was preaching. Why? Because when you get him down in here, you can't help but talk him out here if he's really there. I told about the good things you did, God, and I did not hide these things in my heart. I spoke of how you can be trusted to save us. I did not hide your love and loyalty from those in the great assembly. Lord, do not hide your mercy from me. Let your love and loyalty always protect me. What a psalm. What a wonderful description, if you will, of the Christian life and what it's supposed to be. He said, man, if I really got God down inside, I'm not going to be able to keep my mouth shut about it. And I'm going to tell other people how wonderful God is and how he can save and change our lives. Amen. I guess that's why Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ is, it's near you. It's on your lips. It's in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and that isn't just a one-time, do it in church one time and my ticket's punched. That's confessing the Lord every time you have an opportunity and a chance. You don't have to be religiously goofy. You don't have to run around buttonholing people and talking to people that don't want to hear about it. You just got to wait till they ask. It said, be ready. In the book of Peter, it said, be ready to give an answer to every person of the hope that lies within you. That means they ask a question. If you live for God the way you're supposed to, people around you will start asking. They will. There'll be more people to talk to God about than you have time to talk to God about. And you'll have the opportunity to confess with your lips. In fact, I got saved. I was working in a factory. I got saved on Monday morning. I couldn't believe how many opportunities I had all afternoon to tell people that I had just gotten saved. They'd say, this is happening. Why is that happening? What's going on? Well, I just got saved. Gave my heart to Christ. It'll come up. I was talking to somebody recently. They said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a minister. I know who it was. It was a doctor or the anesthesiologist getting ready to put me under to take a kidney stone out. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a minister. He said, well, how did that ever happen? He asked, Bill. And about 10 minutes later, he put me under. I love it when they ask, and they will ask. He said, you confess him with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart you believe, you trust in, you rely on that truth, and that God had raised him from the dead. It says, if you do that and you do it continually, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on Christ, and so is justified, declared righteous, and acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. I'm a problem to sinners these days. You know, I used to wait for just the right time to talk about Jesus. And now I talk about Jesus around people that don't know Jesus, and I forget they don't know Jesus. And I talk to them just like I talk to you. And I see them sometimes like, sometimes they'll take the Lord's name in vain. They'll say, Jesus Christ. And I'll say, He is the Lord of glory. And they're like, what? What? I said, He's the Lord of glory. He's the Savior of the world. Don't let them do that stupid stuff and get away with it. Right? Amen. Well, I'm done preaching. For now. I'm going to ask those of you that are going to serve communion, if you'd come, I'd like the worship team to come to the platform. We're going to lead you in worship while they're serving you. You stay in your seats. They're going to come to you, got those gloves on, looking like a doctor, got that mask on. All right? They're going to have a cup with a wafer on top. They're going to hand it out to you, but I want you to hold on to it until everybody has it, and then we're going to take it together, all right? Amen. In the meantime, you just worship with us. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to stay seated, you can stay seated. It's up to you. All right, they're tricky little cups, aren't they? The old devil always thinks he's winning, don't he? It is written in the volume of the book, Jesus said, that a body thou hast prepared for me, and I come to do your will, O God. When we share communion, we're going to share the bread first. Jesus at the Last Supper, when he prayed over it, he broke bread and he took it together, and I'm going to pray over it in just a second. When we share communion, we're remembering two things. One, that Jesus did always those things that pleased the Heavenly Father, and he was obedient, Scripture says, even unto death, unto the death of the cross. So when you get to thinking, well, what God's asked me to do is a little too hard, you need to remember what our Savior did for us. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And he gave himself for us. So would you just hold that wafer in your hand a moment, bow your heads, and let's pray over it. And then we'll break it and receive it together. Father, we come before you to remember your Son for what he did for us, but also, Father, that he's not left us in this world alone, that he has sent a comforter. He has sent the Holy Spirit as a teacher and a guide to teach us your word and to guide us through life. And Lord Jesus, we acknowledge before you this morning that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And so we come to this bread that represents the body that was given to you and that you gave to us. It was broken that we might be made whole. And Father, we commit our hearts to you and our lives. We ask, O God, that you would give us wisdom. Give us understanding. You said the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Father, put that fear in our hearts in a new way this morning. We thank you for all that you've already done in each and every one of us. And we ask that you would continue to work that will according to your promise. Until that day when we stand before the Father as a testimony of your obedience, your love, your care, your compassion on a lost and dying world. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you use the body that the Father gave you in the way that he planned for you. And we ask that as we partake of this bread symbolic of your body, we commit ourselves to use our bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit, to glorify and to honor you. Father, bless this bread as we break it and take it together in Jesus' name. Let's break it and eat it, church. Jackson said, amen. Very carefully, peel that little cover back off. This is grape juice. It's new wine. It's the fruit of the vine. It is symbolic of the blood that was poured out for you and I. Once and for all, the blood of bulls and goats and turtle doves and rams have been poured out for thousands of years only to cover men's sins and not to change their hearts and lives. But Jesus came once and for all to be the offering and the sacrifice once and for all. Not just to cover our sins, but to cleanse us from our sins and to send the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to walk and obey God. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, as we lift this cup up before you, we realize that it's symbolic of the precious blood of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ himself. And Lord Jesus, through your sacrifice, our sins can be forgiven and washed and cleansed. We can be brought back into a relationship with you, a relationship of life, a relationship of love, a relationship where we walk together and we talk together. And God, we share your word, and one day we'll share the eternal kingdom with you on a new heaven and a new earth. You said just as surely as you went away that you were preparing a place for us and that you would come again and receive us unto yourself, that where you are we may be also. Father, as we see this world and history panning out exactly the way your word tells us that it will, in our hearts we get more and more homesick every day. But you set eternity in our hearts. You put a love of life in us. So, Lord, with all of the minutes and hours and days and months and years, should you tarry, Lord, that we have left, we want to serve you as your Son served you. We want to do always those things that please you, Father. And, God, we realize we need a Savior to do that. We need your strength. We need your power, your anointing. Most of all, we need your mercy and grace that this blood has provided. So, Lord Jesus, we lift this cup. We ask that you would bless it with health and life and strength and abundance of life that you died to purchase for us. And you have given us all things freely. Every promise is yes and amen because of what you did for us. So, Lord, bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' holy name we pray. That name that is above every name, the only name under heaven whereby men can be saved. Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's take that cup, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the wisdom and the power of your word. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for the earnest of the inheritance that God, one day, every tear will be dried, every sickness and disease will be healed, death will be no more and part us from no one anymore. And God, we look forward to that day in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, we want you to stand with us. We're going to worship with one more psalm before we leave today and close in prayer. I'm glad you're here this morning, but more importantly, your Heavenly Father's glad you're here. You could have chose to be anywhere else on the face of the earth.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we have come before you to honor you, to sing praises to you. And from our hearts, Father God, we want to say we love you. We need you. So, Father God, we bow our hearts before you right now. We bow our lives before you. We bow, Father God, before you because you are worthy to bow before. Oh, Father God, help us to live a life pleasing to you. Father God, we desire to sit at your feet to be in your presence every moment, every second of the day. Father God, we have taken time today to remember. To remember that how much you loved us. How much your Son loved us. That he departed heaven to come to earth. He lived a sinless life, Father God. He did it for us. He died on a cross for us. There's no sin too small, no sin too great that he can't forgive, that you won't forgive. Oh, Father God, give us hearts, Father God, to understand that, that he wants to forgive us. If we will just come before him with repentant hearts, to seek him, to honor him, to please him. Father God, will you put that new spirit in each one of us that we desire to bow before you, to live for you, to be obedient for you. Father God, we love you. Father God, I just ask that you be with each one of us. There's circumstances and situations, trials that we are facing this coming week. And I just ask that you strengthen us by the Holy Spirit. Be with each person, Father God, with each situation. Let them know that they're not alone, that you're there side by side, that you'll walk through this trial, this situation, this fire, that you will never leave them, never forsake them. Father God, as we come up on Thanksgiving, we have a choice. We can be ungrateful and complain about everything that's going on, or we can come before you with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts, to thank you for everything that you've done. We often say, if there's nothing else you have ever done, you saved us from our sins. We should be grateful for that, Father God, above all. Father God, I pray for thankful hearts right now amongst us here today. Give us thankful hearts, Father God. Help us to look within the blessings that you have given each one of us. Father God, now I pray, Lord, that you make us your servants. That as we go forth into our own little worlds, Father God, that there's a person or persons that needs to hear about your saving grace, the forgiveness of sins, Father God. Lord, I just ask that you give us and strengthen us and supernaturally, Father God, give us the words to speak to these people, to show them, demonstrate through actions and words, Father God, that you love them. Have your hand upon us now, Father God, as we depart to sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen.